I'm Brittany Harden-Tengue, a senior manager with KPMG, and I am fascinated by the practice of transfer pricing and its impact on the global market. Join me each episode as I explore the transfer pricing world with specialists who will explain the ins and outs of this niche practice where tax meets economics.
Shinian Kuala, and happy Lunar New Year. As we enter the year of the snake and shed our skin from the past cycle, it's time to start anew and look forward with a fresh new face. And today we are bringing you insights from our KPMG network around the world. So in this episode, at a number of events in the end of 2024, so at a conference at TP Mines in San Francisco, and then also at our Lakehouse facility outside of Orlando, Florida, I talked to six KPMG transfer pricing professionals and asked them to share what companies should be thinking about this year. This podcast includes the key highlights of what they thought were important and our reactions. Before we get started, let me introduce my very special co-host joining me on this global journey. Welcome, Caroline.
Thanks, Brittany. Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Conway, and I'm excited to be co-hosting. I'm a transfer pricing senior associate with the Washington National Tax Group based out of New York. I'm looking forward to listening to what the representatives from our KPMG member firms have to say about these key transfer pricing considerations for 2025.
From the serpentine stances of tax authorities to evolving regulatory landscapes, there's certainly a lot to uncoil. First, we're off to the land of innovation and hummus, Israel. I spoke with David Sampson, a partner in corporate tax from KPMG Israel, and asked him the question, what should U.S. headquartered taxpayers with a presence in Israel keep in mind for 2025?
One thing to bear in mind is that while ITA, Israel Tax Authority, has always been aggressive, we're seeing an increased tempo and motivation to raise revenues. Some of the things that the tax authority are focused on are valuations of IP or other post-acquisition integrations, some very aggressive positions by the authorities, including tax gross-ups, but also potential relief in the sense that the Knesset, the local legislative body, is looking to incentivize certainty for local cost-plus R&D and has instructed ITA to develop a safe harbor in that regard. It does remain to be seen how effective that will be and whether that actually becomes a de facto position rather than a safe harbor, leading to additional controversy. Usually the thought about dealing with ITA is not a question of if, it's when.
Well put. Thank you so much. Caroline, what did you think of that?
One thing that David mentioned is the ITA's use of tax gross-ups in their positions. So for example, a related party in Israel sells IP to its U.S. parent, and using the acquisition price method, determine the arm's length price is $100. The ITA is coming in and asserting the $100 should be increased or grossed up for the related taxes. Also on the flip side, there's this opportunity for relief with the potential safe harbor for local cost plus R&D. And as we know, that could be a game changer for companies operating in Israel. In summary, ITA has been super aggressive. One of the things that they're doing is the tax gross up, but there's also this opportunity with this local cost plus R&D safe harbor.
That's a really great point. Now we're going to shift our focus northward towards Canada. I have next Brad Rolfe from KPMG Canada.
Yeah, I'm Brad Rolfe. I'm the National Growth and Development Leader for Transfer Pricing Services at KPMG Canada.
I'm curious to hear from you. What are things that Canadian taxpayers should be thinking about in 2025?
Three things that Canadian multinationals need to be aware of for 2025. The first are the potential Trump tariffs and how that's going to impact their transfer pricing policies and any offsetting tariffs that Canada might impose in retaliation of those. The second thing would be that Canada has just announced that the federal government is not going to adopt Amount B at this time. That'll cause some inconsistencies with the returns that different tax authorities expect for routine distributors in various jurisdictions. The third thing would be audit activity. CRA continues to be one of the most aggressive audit groups in the world. And three things that they are looking at the moment, subsidies. Our SR&ED credits and our CEWS subsidies, which were given out during COVID, are two of the predominant subsidies they're looking at. Also, plant closures would be something else they've been looking at quite recently. The last is intercompany loans. They have new interest limitation rules under the acronym EIFL. So you need to make sure that you're taking advantage of your interest expense. Make sure you maximize it, and if you're going to end up having to carry forward some, perhaps there's some things that you can do to mitigate that leakage.
Again, there's definitely a cold-blooded focus on controversy and audits, but something that I heard from Brad that I thought was really interesting and something that we're going to continue to see unfold is the importance of the interaction between tariffs and transfer pricing policies. We've known for ages that trade and customs go hand in hand with transfer pricing when you're dealing especially with tangible goods, but I think that's something that we're really going to need to look at more closely, and the calculations are just going to have to get more sophisticated. Caroline, what did you think?
Brad noted that there's been an increase in transfer pricing audits focusing on the treatment of government subsidies. One of the key issues is, would an affiliate of an M&E be able to reflect in their financial statements for transfer pricing purposes the financial aid they may have received from governments due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Also on that note, he mentioned how Canada has elected to not take the option of adopting the OECD's Amount B. Still a lot of questions and a lot to look forward to in 2025 to understand more. Moving on, we'll look to the European continent and say buongiorno to Italy and hear from Gianni De Robertis.
I'm Gianni De Robertis. I used to be the head of transfer pricing for KPMG in the EMA region. Now I am the head of tax and legal for KPMG in Italy.
Incredible. What do you feel that Italian taxpayers should be most aware of and thinking about?
A lot is happening in Italy. First of all, public country-by-country reporting is now a reality, and some companies, in particular non-EU-headed companies, have underestimated the impact of that. Financial transactions seems to be a very key point at the moment with tax authorities, and this is because of Chapter 10 of the OECD guidelines, but also because of the raise in interest rate across countries. On financial transactions, historically, the issues have been the interest rate on financial transactions. The analysis would focus on the credit rating of the borrower and then the interest rate, the market interest rate. Now, with Chapter 10, there is an additional step which need to be analyzed, and is whether actually the debt would take place between third parties. And so now the analysis is threefold. The debt capacity first, then the credit rating, and then the interest rate. Number three is the link between Pillar 2 and transfer pricing. There is a lot of discussion on making sure that the analysis of Pillar 2 is correctly aligned with the transfer pricing analysis. The last point, the importance of transfer pricing documentation. Transfer pricing will always be a contentious issue, and so it is important that companies have the transactions well documented so that they can avoid penalties.
That's a great point. And Gianni, as you mentioned, Pillar 2 and the interaction with transfer pricing, that's something we have explored on our Exploring Transfer Pricing podcast with Lucia from KPMG Italy earlier. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Carolyn, what's your impression on that?
I thought it was really interesting how Gianni brought up Chapter 10 and how this has increased controversy for specifically financing transactions and intercompany loans. This is something that Brad from KPMG Canada also brought up. There's this global increased focus by tax authorities on specifically intercompany lending. Definitely something to make sure that there's robust documentation around.
Definitely. And you know it's something, again, that we have explored on Exploring Transfer Pricing. We had Jaap and Janneke from KPMG Netherlands in the past to join us to talk about Chapter 10 and what it looks like for them. And what is helpful about this is that we do have more guidance around how these analyses should be done in order to look at the debt capacity between related parties. Anything else that struck you?
Noteworthy point from the 2023 IRS APA statistics is that intercompany lending transactions actually made up less than 2% of all APAs executed in the United States in 2023. So amidst the growing controversy surrounding intercompany financial transactions, taxpayers may want to consider exploring APAs as a means to achieve certainty on these complex and risky transactions.
That's really thoughtful. Something becomes more risky. What are we doing to be able to mitigate that risk? And these can obviously be very large transactions as well. So now let's head down under to Australia, the land that is famous for having many venomous snakes.
Hi folks, Glenn Hutchings here, KPMG, Sydney, down under.
Thank you for being here. What is something important that taxpayers that have a presence in Australia should be thinking about for 2025?
Lots happening in Brittany in Australia from a tax perspective. Two big things to focus on. First of all, public CBC reporting. You need to turn your mind to that and the disclosures that go with that, which are slightly beyond what you have in the European theatre. And then secondly, intangibles. Lots happening in Australia on intangibles moving forward. A big focus in that space, whether it be you're developing something, whether it be software, whether it be you're considering putting in a contract R&D arrangement. Intangibles is a very, very hot space down under.
And on that, there seems to be a preference for trying to treat all software as a service, as a royalty. Is that what you're referring to?
Absolutely. Part of it is this drive by the ATO to clarify, but also seek withholding tax where there are intangible flows into Australia. In the past, one might have thought there would be no withholding tax, but that's a key challenge that the ATO is focusing on. And likely also to be a few court cases moving forward, Brittany. That's a space to definitely watch.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It sounds like there's likely to be some significant changes with respect to how the ATO is handling intangibles, and specifically intangibles and withholding tax. And as Glenn mentioned, there's a couple of cases on this that are on the horizon. So it'll be definitely a space to watch to see how those court cases are handled.
Something that we're realizing as we're covering the whole globe, every single type of transaction is being covered. Whether we were talking about tangibles and tariffs and then transitioned into the concern around financial transactions, but then also intangibles from as far as Israel to Australia are getting very special attention.
Something else that I thought was interesting was the focus on public CBC. Europe certainly jump-started this, but Australia is also very large and an active jurisdiction where this is required. So the question remains, even if you're headquartered in the United States, if you have a significant presence in Europe or Australia, it doesn't mean that you're exempt from public CBC. So it's something to certainly be aware of.
Now we're going to slither our way down into South America to hear from Juan Martin Jovanovic from KPMG Argentina.
Argentina is undergoing huge changes. We have a business-friendly administration, so huge opportunities for 2025. In particular, Argentina has a lot of natural resources. It's not just the agricultural industry, it's also mining, oil and gas, energy. This government is focused on promoting investment. In fact, there is a very, very interesting incentives regime for large investments, specifically in those areas I was mentioning, oil and gas, energy, infrastructure, mining, steel industry, forestry, tourism, and technology. That regime is for investments over $200 million. It's about investing in CapEx, in capital expenditures. All those investments in those areas above $200 million can qualify for this regime and has huge tax incentives, tax, exchange control, and customs incentives. It's a great opportunity. Tax stability and exchange control stability and customs stability for 30 years. Constitutionally protected, this is a time to invest in Argentina, especially now that the macroeconomic situation got much more stable.
You hit the nail on the head. I know one of the big concerns for taxpayers. Do you want to speak to the FX situation?
The government is not going to anticipate, but they said that during 2025, they're going to lift all the exchange control restrictions. That's going to be great. Of course, today, the restrictions are not as strong as they used to be last year. It's much better situation. With the stabilization of inflation, inflation today is still high, is more or less around 2% per month, 2.5% per month, but we are coming from 50% per month, so it was hyperinflation. Now we're much more stable. The government is slowly getting the fiscal accounts in order. Our expectation is that beginning mid next year, all the exchange controls are going to be lifted. No more cash trapped in Argentina, and I hope that's not going to be coming back for the next 100 years.
You survived, you know, we made it. Thank you for speaking on that.
It's important to note when Juan Martin says mid next year, he means 2025. I did speak with him at the end of 2024. So with that, Caroline, what did you think?
It's wonderful to hear from Juan Martin that he has some optimistic views on investment opportunities in Argentina. I know this has been a concern for taxpayers having cash trapped in Argentina, but it sounds like the macroeconomic situation is improving. So it's great considering the educated workforce in Argentina. Maybe there will be a push for investment in Argentina by multinational companies.
South America is such an important continent on the global scale. And with Brazil adopting some of the OECD guidelines and Argentina also being a huge economy on that continent, making sure that there is the necessary level of stabilization to be able to take in that investment and then being able to apply consistent transfer pricing policies, it's going to be real relief for taxpayers on that continent in 2025 and beyond.
Let's finally jet over to Singapore with Sing Wan Young with KPMG Singapore. She has over 10 years of experience working for the IRAS, the Inland Revenue Authority of Singapore, and has wonderful perspectives. Let's hear what she has to say.
When it comes to transfer pricing in 2025, all taxpayers should really be careful and pay attention to the transfer pricing for their related party transactions. On top of that, documentation, as well as looking into, in particular, transfer pricing for related party loans, especially among domestic entities.
So the Inland Revenue Authority of Singapore, the IRAS, is looking specifically at domestic transactions?
Yep, the IRAS is looking at domestic transactions. And on top of that, there were also some new changes in terms of the transfer pricing requirements for related party domestic loans. That is a new change that will take place from 1st of Jan 2025, just for something to pay attention to as well. Apart from that, it's pretty much life as usual from a transfer pricing front in Singapore and Pillar 2, of course, if you're affected by it.
I love it. Thank you so much.
So again, we have another instance of increased global scrutiny by tax authorities, this time in Singapore, on the pricing of financial transactions, and in particular, domestic intercompany loans. This highlights the importance of staying close to your advisors in pertinent jurisdictions, as local transfer pricing laws can vary.
We have circled the globe as we prepare for the year of the snake. Hopefully we haven't found anything that we've learned today too constricting. From the avenues of Italy to the outback of Australia, there is certainly a lot to sink your fangs into. We've got a lot to keep our eyes open and to learn about in 2025. And thank you, Caroline, for coming with me. I hope you had a nice time jetting around the globe with me.
Absolutely, Brittany. Thank you so much for bringing me along on this journey.
Thanks for joining me on this adventure in transfer pricing. See you next time.